All right. Who's excited about 1 Peter? It's been fun, hasn't it? I've been enjoying walking through this book together. Yeah, just the other HDMI, Jeremy, if that's all right. HDMI 2. Then I'll make sure I... let it load. All right. So we know why Peter is writing a letter to the early Christians, right? Aha, there we go. Perfect. Okay, there we are. So Peter is encouraging the new believers. And he wants them to hold firm in Christ because they're being persecuted, they're being slandered, they're being marginalized. And so Peter's writing them to say, hey, this is real, right? They're being tortured, they're being put to death. Nero wants it done and away with. What is this new movement? It's creating chaos for me in my life. We want things to stay as they were. But Peter's coming to encourage the saints and say, hey, listen, it is real. Hold firm to the truth. Hold steady and firm under the suffering. Persevere under the suffering that you're experiencing. So last week we talked about the famous verse that, is that me, Jeremy? Oh, it's you? Okay. Let there be a high-pitched noise, and there was. So we talked about last week that popular verse that lots of preachers preach on in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And we talked about how do we prepare? How do we do that? Relationship with Christ is so important, isn't it? We don't want to just know about God. We want to know God. Amen. There's a big difference between, it's just one word I know, but there's a huge difference. We just don't want to know about him. We want to know him here. Because when you get to know him here, you get to know his voice. In John, it says the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Amen. Right? And so that helps you to prepare to give an answer because you're going to trust the Holy Spirit in your life. You're going to trust that he's going to give you the words exactly when you need it. I love that old missionary who said to me in one of these countries, he said, well, Chad, you want to grow deeper in Christ? I said, yes, I do. Deeper and deeper, as deep as I can get. He says, well, you're going to have to allow yourself to be put in situations where if God doesn't show up, you're sunk. And I thought that's really good. And I have been in many situations where if God didn't show up, I was sunk and absolutely sunk. And it encourages you and your faith expands and it grows because you see that God is a faithful God who'll always give you what you need in the moment that you ask, even when you don't even expect it. Even when you're not sure, is he going to come through? Well, God, I don't understand your voice yet. I'm not convinced. I don't know. Is it my voice? Is it the enemy's voice? Is it my con? I don't know. But I promise you, as each parent does with their kids, they make sure their kids hear what they want them to hear. Amen? And it's no different with Father. We just have to open up our hearts, right? And be prepared to allow him to speak. He will give you what you need. But it also says in the end of that verse 15, but give that answer, give that reason with gentleness and respect, right? I think that's hard for some of us, right? Somebody could say something to you that really offends you, right? Just happened to me this weekend. And man, I wanted to respond to it, but I reacted. I reacted to it. And I'm like, oh man, Lord, I'm still a man in progress. And I will be for the rest of my life. But it can be hard to respond at times with love and gentleness and respect when somebody's hurt you with their words, right? Or with their actions. But this is the way of Jesus, right? Turn the other cheek, Jesus said. If somebody asks for your coat, give them your tunic as well. That was the other garment underneath. And so, we want to give our answer with gentleness and respect. Not anger, not rage, not making the other person feel stupid in front of those other people that you're doing it with. Amen? That is not the way of Jesus. We do it with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I'm going to say this again. If you're offended by somebody's words, then you needed to be. You needed to be, because we need to be offended till we can't be offended anymore. Because if you're secure in Christ and you find your security there and your significance, it is really hard to offend you. Because people's words, like Jesus said, I don't live for your praises or your curses. I live to my Father. So whatever you say, no matter, because I have not made you my master. That is Father God's place in my life. Amen? So if we're offended, then we needed to be. We need to be offended till we can't be offended anymore. Because we're so secure in Christ and who he says we are. We're so significant and find our significance there and who he says I am, that it's really hard for people to move you. Amen? That's how you love the enemy, right? Remember when Jesus said, love your enemies, bless those who persecute you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who persecute you? That's how you can do it, because you don't live to man. So therefore, you can love man no matter what man does to you. Did you get that? Amen? If you live to man, you can't love man because you're trying to get something out of man. But if you love the Lord, then you can love man because you're getting everything you need from him. So no matter what they say, right? It's like a sponge. We take the hurt and we give it over to Jesus so we can speak with gentleness and respect. Amen? See how that works? But if we live to man, we're in trouble. Like that proverb says, the fear of man is a dangerous trap, but to trust the Lord means safety. Right? It means safety in your life. Okay, it is better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So that's pretty simple, right? At least if you're going to suffer, suffer for doing good. Don't suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Amen? Jesus never truly died, did he? That's what Peter's reminding him. You have to remember, we've heard this our whole lives, right? This message has been going on for centuries, but this is brand new, right? Remember, Jesus has left. He's ascended to heaven. The disciples are still there spreading the message, and they have to encourage them, right? They have to encourage them. So we can hear that and say, yes, he was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. But to them, that was fresh. That was new. That's falling on fresh and new ears. He was put to death in the body once for all sins, but made alive in the spirit. Amen? Jesus left his physical body and took on a spiritual body. Amen? We're going to talk a little bit more of that in a second. So here it is right here. In that state, made alive in the spirit, okay, that's what Peter's referring to. In that state, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. Now, interesting verse there. And this, there's so many different translations of that verse. Scholars, I remember in a class that I took, the professor talking about all the different understandings of that verse. But it's interesting, one of the more popular ones, because what happened before the flood? What happened to the people before the flood? They weren't followers of God, were they? They had turned their backs on God, and they were doing evil, right? And so God sent, well, he sent them to build the ark, right? Noah's ark, right, as it's called, right? And saved those family members, eight in all, right, with all the animals that came on board the ship. And then God said, okay, delete, redo, right? Let's try again, right? And that's what a rainbow actually is, right? A rainbow is the promise of God, right? That's what it is. It's God's promise. We had it first. We know what the rainbow is. God made that as a reminder of his faithfulness to us that he will never flood the earth and kill everybody like that again, right? That's what it means. And so Peter's saying to this here, he said, listen, in that state, when Jesus was made alive in the spirit, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days. Can you imagine being the fly on the wall back then? Jesus showing up to these imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient, right? And he comes and says, hey, I'm here not just to bring you the truth, but I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and your very life. And he got to go and preach in that to those imprisoned spirits. It's pretty cool that's in there, right? I can't imagine, because we don't think about that very often. We're physical beings right now, aren't we? Right? But we have a spirit that lives in us, correct? Called the Holy Spirit. Now, you can be possessed by a spirit, but you want the Holy One, right? Not the demon one, right? And if you have never experienced it before, it's kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. It's really, really weird, right? And you're like, no, I do not want that spirit. We want the Holy Spirit. You see, and so Jesus died, right, and rose again. Remember in John chapter 20, I'm just going to flip over there just quickly, just because I want to remind us of this. In John chapter 20, Jesus appears to Mary, and so I'll back up to verse 15. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, Mary said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me, where have you put Jesus, and I will get him. Then Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So Peter would have remembered those words that Jesus spoke to them about this, right? After, right? Couldn't touch him yet. I'm still transforming, right? You can't touch me quite yet. And then further down, right, in chapter 20, Jesus appears to Thomas. Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen? Blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet they still believe. That word believe is such a big word, isn't it? It's an important word. It's used so many times throughout Scripture. I think I told you when I was reading through the Bible one year, I circled that word believe, and by the end, I eventually ran out of ink in my pen. That word believe is used so many times, if you believe. So, we need the Holy Spirit to indwell in us, amen? Right? I can't come into you, can I? I can't jump into you. I probably hurt you, Tana, because I'm physical. You'd be like, why are you tackling me? Right? But a spirit can come into you. Amen? And so Peter's letting them know the importance. Jesus ascended to the Father, and then he sent the helper. Remember? The counselor, the helper, the Holy Spirit. Because a spirit can come into you, right? Right? We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Without it, we will not work properly. And we want to get to know him who lives within us. Because as you get to know him, you'll begin to trust him. And you'll begin to sense his leading you, whether to go left or right, up, away, to here, to there. Amen? It is an important message that he's getting across to his readers. All right, let me carry on, because the time always flies here in the mornings. Okay, so Eight and all were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Does baptism save you? Or does the life of Christ save you? Yes. So people read that, but you got to read the full thing, right? Right? We've ran into people, oh no, you got to read the rest of the verse, because at first he says this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, like a bath, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of who? Jesus. It's only the life of Christ that saves you. Is baptism important? Well, yeah, because Jesus commanded it, right? He commanded it. He went and got baptized himself, didn't he, by John, right? He said, let it be so, to fulfill the scriptures, right? And baptism, it's kind of like this ring, right? This wedding ring that I received many, many years ago, right? It's an outward symbol of the commitment I already made in my heart to Tracy, right? And baptism is an outward symbol of the commitment you've already made to Jesus in your heart. But there's still something spiritual in it, isn't there? It's not just a symbolization. There's something significant. Remember what happened when Jesus went under the water? Do you remember? There was a voice, right, that said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Right at the start of Jesus' ministry, at his baptism, the Father is reminding everybody of who he is and telling Jesus, reminding him of who he is, you're my son. That's your identity. And I am well pleased with you. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice to know, to walk through your life right now knowing that God's pleased with you? How many of us wonder from day to day, man, I don't know. I don't know, Lord. I've done some pretty horrible things. I'm not sure if you're too pleased with me. But does God look at behavior or birthright? Yeah, our birthright. We are now heirs with him, co-heirs, it says, with Christ. Amen? We have to remember that. We will never behave perfectly in this life, will we? Right? Now, it doesn't say we take advantage of grace. Well, great, I have the grace of God, so let me sin all the more. No, because when you know Jesus, when you're in relationship with him, you want to keep sin far away. Right? I don't want to walk there. It's uncomfortable for me. Amen? It's just uncomfortable. I want to know him who lives within. This is my son, he said, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Oh, isn't that good? That's so good. Okay. I want to try and get, let me start on chapter 4. Okay, verse 1. Therefore, there, I love that. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Okay, here's the attitude. Because those who have suffered in their bodies are done with sin. Anybody ever suffered in their bodies before? To the point that, oh, I'm just done? I remember Elaine telling me the story when she needed her liver transplant, correct? And I remember Elaine telling me, I was suffering so bad, I was just done. God, either heal me or take me. One of the two. Right? Not many of us have experienced that. But sometimes when we're suffering in our bodies, you get to the point where you're like, I'm done. Either take me or heal me, please, Lord. And so he says, because those who have suffered in their bodies are done with sin, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. I think if you've ever met Elaine, you know that she loves Jesus. Right? She'll give you a great big hug, right? And Jesus just shines through her. And I know you accredited that to the Lord, didn't you? Everything. And your health today. Aren't you still the longest living transplant person in Western Canada? Amen. As a result, I do not want to live the rest of my earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of the Father. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. Do I need to define what those things are? We're okay. Let's move on. Right? But he says, you spent enough time in the past doing all those horrible things. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. How many of you have been in that situation? Because you're not going to join in with them, they kind of heap some abuse on you. Right? Oh, yeah. I've been in there. Right? I've also given in sometimes. Oh, blast, Lord. Right? But they'll make fun of you. Aiden was just telling me a story. Aiden doesn't like to drink. He doesn't like to vape and do all those things. But his buddy was like, why don't you drink? I can't remember what your response was, but I thought it was really good. I think Aiden just said to them, why do you like to drink? I just don't like it. Right? But they still want to hang out with you. They still want to be around you. Right? Many of us have been in those situations before, right? And Peter says, hey, right? They're surprised you not join them in that reckless, wild living and behavior. They'll heap abuse on you, but they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Who have heard that verse before? Right? He judges the living and the dead. They will have to give an account. We all have to give an account of our lives. Amen? That can feel heavy sometimes, can't it? When we read that? Oh, no. Have I done enough? Right? Was my behavior good enough? Did I do enough good works? But we have to remember when we read that, it's no longer based upon your work, but his work. Amen? Because when he looks at you, he looks at his son and sees the holes in his hands and feet, says, yep, forgiven. Forgiven. My son went through a lot. Aren't we glad about that? That's a cause to celebrate today, isn't it? Right? Because of what he did. Right? We bear his name now. Right? We bear his name. We have his authority. It's not based upon your good work. It's based upon his. Do you know that all of my rewards in heaven will be based upon what I never did, but what he did through me? Right? My works aren't enough. So my rewards in heaven will not be based upon what I did. It'll be based upon what he did through me. Do you remember in John chapter 6? I think I've talked with you guys about this a little bit before, but I got to bring it up now. Right? Jesus, the man who did everything, says he did nothing. In John chapter 5, chapter 6. And it says it three times. By myself, Jesus said, oh, do you want me just to read it to you? I could see some of you like, no, Jesus didn't say that. Yes, he actually did. I got to read it to you now. In John. I found it. All right. My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. Don't you love that? They're always at their work. So that means they're always at work in you. Did you know that? Even when you don't even recognize it, they're doing a work. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but Jesus, he was even calling God his own Father. How dare he? Making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer after that. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. What? Jesus, the man who did everything, says he did nothing by himself. I can only do what my Father does through me. What the Father does, the Son also does. And then further on in verse 30, that was verse 19. By myself, I can do nothing. He not only said it once, but twice. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Amen. All your rewards in heaven will be based upon what you never did. Yes, he will give, everybody has to give an account and ready to judge the living and the dead. But all of my good works is what he did through me. Amen. Outside of Christ, there's nothing good about Chad. Right? Just ask my wife when I respond out of the flesh. It ain't pretty, Tannen. But when we respond out of the Spirit of Christ and it reflects his truth, isn't that a beautiful thing? Yes, we'll give an account. He will judge the living and the dead. But all of what's good about you is Christ in you. You know, remember at the beginning in Genesis when he's creating and he said, and he made man and it's very good. You know what I think was very good about that? As I think the Father saw what the Son's going to do through that. And he said, wow, very good. Very good. Isn't it amazing? The God of the universe, the one who judges the living and the dead, come to put his life in us. It's such a mystery, right? Paul uses that word mystery a few times. The mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you. I don't understand it all. I can't explain it all. But it is the best part of us is Christ in us. That's how we live. That's how we move. That's how we operate in this life. All right. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regards to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Well, what did he mean by that? We're still going, right? But that's what Peter said. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Do you know what it says? And I think it's in 2 Peter chapter 3. Yes, in the second letter of Peter chapter 3, verse 8, right? Peter says the end is near, but then listen what he says in the second letter in verse 8 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. God is not bound by time, is he? He's outside of time. We are bound by time. So a day can seem like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years can seem like a day. We're bound by time, but he is beyond time. And the boundary of time is eternity, and he is the eternal one. Amen? He has no beginning and no end. He is I am. Do you love that? He is I am. Be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply. And this is the point I wanted to end on this morning. The end of all things is near, but remember, 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord, and a day is like 1,000 years because he's beyond time. He's not bound by time, and the boundary of time is eternity. He's outside of all that, right? But be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Remember in Acts chapter 2, it says the apostles dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayer, right? Do you remember what Jesus told the disciples to do when they're in the Garden of Gethsemane? Watch and pray. What happened to them? They watched in their sleep. So he says, be alert. We weren't. I'm alert now because now I realize what's actually going on. I did not fully recognize that Peter would have said. And be of sober mind so that your mind is clear so that you may pray. But above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Anybody heard that passage before? Love each other deeply, he says. Love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. I love that he used the word multitude, right? And not just love covers over a few sins. That changes the scripture, doesn't it? Right? Love each other deeply because love covers over a couple of sins. It just doesn't have the same effect, does it? Love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sin. Amen? And are we forgiven just of our past sins, just present, just future, or all? All. That's what it says in Scripture. We went over that in another message a few months back. Right? He's forgiven all, past, present, and future. So, let's not point out the sin, but the one who saved us from the sin. Amen? In counseling, it's what I do. I want people to recognize Christ in the midst of their sin. And once they see him, by default, they stop the sin. Isn't that interesting how that works? Instead of continue to point at the sin, like nipping at a scar and a wound. Well, let me keep pointing you there. I want to bring you down. Let's keep pointing out your sin, because that really helps. In marriage, has it ever helped to point out your spouse's bad behavior? Sometimes. I would sure love to believe that. Surely there's a time. It has never helped, has it, hon? No. We experienced that this weekend, didn't we? Yes, we did. Yes, it does not help. But we want to remind each other of who lives in us and whose we are, right? That is the goal. We want to remind each other whose we are. I love this story from this African pastor. And his church, his people were so mature. They were unbelievably mature. And these people would come and steal from them constantly, and they would go and bless them even more. People were coming in and slandering them, and they would come and serve them. It was an unbelievable thing. And one of my friends came up to this pastor, and he asked him, he says, man, what are you doing different in your church? Your people are being like absolutely suffering for all kinds of things, and yet they bless and they serve and they continue to love. Why are your people so mature in the Lord? And the African pastor's response to my friend was, it's actually really simple. I just hold a crown above their heads and I let them grow into it. Don't you love that? I really like that response. I just simply hold a crown above their heads. Can we do that for each other here at Provost Community Church? Can we hold a crown above each other's heads and allow each other to grow into it? Because we're all people in progress, aren't we? Right? We're all in progress. We're all going to be at different seasons of life, and we're going to need that encouragement to remind us of who we are. Sure, mention, hey, that's not the best way to go. Sin's that direction. You want to go that way. But then quickly tell them about who Jesus is. You know, it's an amazing, I can be in a room of conversation and it's going sideways, and then I just start talking about Jesus and people go quiet, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, everybody's smiling. Even my friends who aren't believers. I've said, oh, you're all smiling. What do you mean? No, we're not. I said, yeah, you're all smiling. You can't help it. Because I'm speaking to the one who's written into your very DNA, whether you recognize it or not. Amen? So let's do that. Let's love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13? So these three remain, he said. Remember the love chapter? These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love conquers all. Amen? And it's not what is love, but who is love. Who is love? Oh, can we say that on count of three? One, two, three?
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. There's something about that name. Jesus. 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 How I love to sing that name. Do you remember that song? Master, maker, creator. It's just something when you hear that name, right? The name of Jesus. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your truth. Thank you that we have this Bible with recorded written words that are still blessing us today. Thank you, God, for your truth that sets us free. Thank you for your love that covers over a multitude of sins. Thank you, God, that through the cross and through your blood that was shed, we can walk in forgiveness. We can walk clean. Like a river that constantly flows and stay clean, your blood flows through us, keeping us clean, because the blood of the Lamb was enough. Jesus, I pray that we are a church who loves each other deeply. I pray that we extend grace to one another, knowing that I could be in trouble in the next season of my life. Lord, I pray that we can hold a crown above their head because we're royalty. We're princesses and princes of the Most High King. And we want to live as such and live accordingly. Thank you, Jesus, for your love that covers over everything. And I ask this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's children said, amen, so be it. Yes, have a wonderful week. We're getting close to finishing up 1 Peter, if you can believe it. I'm getting a little sad, but we're almost done. Have a great week, and we'll see you guys next week.